Hello and welcome to The Trawl, the show where we scroll through Twitter so you don't have to. I'm Gemma Forte.
And I'm Marina Perkis. This week, the tweets we've trawled are pretty much all of a certain flavour because there's only been one topic dominating the news, Twitter, and frankly my nightmares. But first, Gemma, how's your week been?
Do you know what? It's been a lot better. The last time we recorded, I had the plague, the dreaded COVID. I was basically Tom Hanks in Castaway. It had reached that point. My kids had been dispatched to my ex-husband for the whole duration. So I was trying to parent a little bit by FaceTime, which was not that effective. And then life got a bit better because I was able to go back to work. So yeah, that was good. Back to a bit of Jeremy Vine and and went to Ian Dale's 60th as well.
You did, you star mingler.
Should I do some name drop clunking?
Go for it.
It was like the who's who of media. There was like Emily Maitlis, Giles Brandreth. Who else? Some MPs. There was Julia Hartley Brewer. Fun times. There was Wes Streeting, Emily Thornberry. I mean, he knows everybody.
That's a right melting pot of people, that.
Yeah, and I mean, many, many more. And then Jeremy Vine turned up just as I was leaving. In fact, I was getting out of the lift with Wes Streeting and Jeremy was like, oh, hello, and looked at me as if to say, what are you up to? And what I had been up to was sort of confronting Wes about Keir Starmer's stance on Brexit. So Wes was trying to leave. He probably wanted to press the button in the lift and climb out because I am fun at parties.
Sounds it.
What about you? What about you? What have you been up to?
No, so I've not been to any celeb bashes, sadly. I've actually been up in Sheffield all week because I married a northerner. So his mum and dad are up in Sheffield. So we've been up here. I've been working from home. And do you know what? It's been lovely. Just a change of scenery. I've been enjoying the weather. But the way one enjoys the weather when they've got that weird, awful cognitive dissonance going on about we're on the precipice of a climate catastrophe and trying not to think about it. And of course, peppering in a bit of Tory leadership, TV watching, goss. I mean, Friday night, the leadership debate on Channel 4, that was just, I mean, that was one of the lowlights of Friday nights for me personally.
It was extraordinary. Yes, the fact that we were both in watching that is quite tragic. Should we get into our trawl? Yeah. I'm going to set the scene straight away with a couple of tweets that I think sort of encapsulate the week. So the first is from Molly Goodfellow. She's a writer. Her handle is @HansMoleMan. And Molly simply tweeted, "The entire Tory leadership race is very embarrassing for the soul." I like that. I thought it was succinct. And sort of summed it up. Second tweet, oh my God, this had me laughing, I've got to say. She's called Three Steaks Pam. Her actual handle is @AlexandraCurie. And she said, so funny, "Don't ask me why, but watching a televised debate for an internal leadership contest you can't vote in is the political equivalent of being a child standing next to your mum in the supermarket for half an hour while she talks to Janet from Zumba."
I love that account, by the way. Give that a follow because it's a brilliant account. But do you know what? She's on the money because it's all just a bit bananas. It's like a shittier version of The X Factor where every contestant's a knob. And when they win, they just get to continue ballsing up the country. We don't even get to vote for them, Gemma. That's the thing. This leadership race, our next PM will be chosen by approximately 160,000 Tory party members. That's 0.3% of the population. And do they represent us? Do they? Hell, they are 63% male, 40% over 65, 97% white, and to top it off, 76% Leave voters. That is British democracy, ladies and gents.
You know, I'm so glad you've established that because when I was on Jeremy Vine on Friday, funnily enough, with Ian Dale, he was saying, it's great because people think that the Conservative membership is a very certain demographic, but they're not. They, you know, they're much more diverse now. And I was thinking, is that true? But what you can't do on telly is like go, hang on a minute, mate, and get your phone out and Google. So unless you've got that stat, you can't.
There needs to be that. I feel like I find myself in more and more televised debates or broadcast debates where we've just got two people quoting different facts. And you almost need that like fact check service. Anyway, let's get back to the tweets. And I'm going to kick off with a tweet I found, which was put out by Led by Donkeys. As I think it gets to the crux of why watching these Tory candidates slug it out is quite so galling. And by the way, for those that don't know, Led by Donkeys are an amazing group of activists. They are funded entirely by the public and they do an awesome job of holding the government to account with videos like this one. Take a listen.
So does he have your confidence? Yes, he does.
The Prime Minister has my total support.
I think we've got a great Prime Minister.
Does he have your wholehearted support?
He certainly does.
He's paid the 50 quid fine. That's the right thing to do. He's reorganised number 10, and I think he's got a big job to do.
I have publicly supported the Prime Minister.
I support the Prime Minister.
I support the Prime Minister. And
I'm very proud to be supporting this Prime Minister.
Do you believe that the Prime Minister is honest all the time, Mr. Zahawi?
Yes, I do.
And there you have it. I mean, unbelievable. This is the thing. Everything gets filmed. It's all there for us to scrutinise. I do agree as well, Marina. I think Led by Donkeys do such impactful work. Just really great stuff. So there they all are supporting the man that 5 minutes later, they're all stabbing in the back and saying they could do a much better job. So it is a bit difficult to stomach the whole thing, frankly, because they've all been part and complicit in his government. Few tweets. Faraz Osman, he put, okay, hear me out. All of them are put on a plane to Rwanda. Each are given a budget and personal responsibility. Every time they cross a border, they have to prove they're a high-skilled worker. First one back to number 10 wins. I like this. I think it should be like the Hunger Games. Who do you think would win in that instance, Marina?
Oh, Jesus.
I think I know straight away.
I don't.
It'd be Tottenham Hat, wouldn't it? Because he's army man.
Of course. But yeah. What about Penny? She's pretend army, apparently.
She can dive really well as well, so that might be handy because she did splash.
You've also
I think Liz Truss would be toast.
Oh, she's got no chance. Absolutely no chance. No. Nadine Dorries also like waded in on Twitter. She obviously our Minister for Media, Culture and Sport. She said, I know, this is dirty tricks, a stitch up, dark arts. Take your pick. Team Rishi want the candidate they know they can definitely beat in the final two, and that is Jeremy Hunt.
The thing is with Nadine is every time she wades in, it's like the opposite of PR. Because then she did an interview where she said, when Johnson resigned, and she said, well, the donors are not going, they're really going to regret this. Like, absolutely letting the whole of the UK know who's absolutely in charge. The Tory donors.
They should wheel her out more often. She does so much damage, but because of like the rugby union, oh, that was brilliant, when she confused rugby union and rugby league, which I actually said to my husband, because he was like, that's unforgivable. And I was like, do you know what? I just don't know rugby. I could easily make that mistake. And he went, yes, Marina, but you're not the minister for like culture, media and sport. I was like, yeah, fair point.
Yeah, I also spoke to a rugby fan who was like, how? And I was thinking I'd have done the same. But yeah, I get the point. But so she's talking about dirty tricks and stitch up and Team Rishi and, you know, how he's a backstabber. I love when you see a tweet like this, always go to the replies. Okay, here's just a couple that I picked out. So at Dave McLad, who's really funny, put, maybe you could privatise Rishi Sunak. Oh, that was very amusing. And Danny Wallace, who's a comedian, he put, bit naughty. Hi, Nadine, this is your Uber driver. You said you were behind some bins at the back of the pub and that I should follow the smell of the gin, but I think you scampered over the wall.
I mean, Twitter. That,
she does. And then at Kate Wilton 1, I like this because it's kind of more serious. Talking about dirty tricks, Nadine, haven't you just been accused of trying to pressurise a change in the Channel 4 report because it failed to outline the benefits of a sale privatisation? That you?
The Good very point. Same. The very same, Gemma. This is the thing, see, right? The Tories don't like tactical voting when it's against them. But they were more than happy in 2019 to buddy up with Nigel Farage for an informal pact with the Brexit Party, if you remember. Also, have you noticed what the government aren't using in their new leader election? They don't use first past the post. Because it would end up giving them a leader that the majority of them hadn't voted for, which no one wants. Instead, they use multi-round voting, and it's just us mugs that have to use first past the post for our general election. It's just ridiculous. It's another case of one rule for us, another rule for them. Anyway.
Can I just quickly say, I did hear Natasha Devon say on LBC yesterday, so I haven't fact-checked this, but if she's saying it, I'm going to assume it's true. She said in Europe, we're the only country apart from Belarus that uses first past the post.
I think that's correct.
Wow.
Yeah, speaks volumes, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Right, on to the next tweet. Tulip Sadiq, who is Labour MP for Hampstead and Kilburn and Shadow Secretary, tweeted, this is actually shocking, this. I slipped into one of the small rooms in Parliament during votes to make a phone call and jumped when I noticed a Tory veteran in the corner behind a chair, like actually hiding. So I said, what are you doing? He said very grumpily, hiding. I said, why? He said angrily, I've had 11 phone calls. 11. And I'm not endorsing any of that lot. I've told them, but they keep calling me. Not sure why he didn't just switch his phone off.
Oh, I just love the thought of this man sort of hiding under his desk, rocking, because that's how bad it's got. In way, oh, just go away. You know, he'd be walking barefoot down the side of the M25 before you know it.
Oh, you have to laugh at this. This was another one that I've had. Hilarious, but also like soul crushing. So Adam Bienkov is a writer for Byline Times, and he tweeted in reference to an Evening Standard poll that was conducted to find out how familiar the public are with Tory PM hopefuls. This is what he tweeted. He said, 5% of voters say they know a great deal about the Conservative candidates Suella Braverman, Kimmy Badenoch and Tom Tugendhat. But get this. This compares to 6% who say they know a great deal about Conservative MP Stuart Lewis. Stuart Lewis does not exist.
I mean, it's a worry, isn't it? Do you think, I mean, what's going on here? Are they getting confused with Martin Lewis, who also isn't an MP? Or
and I would love him to be PM. He'd be great. Or Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Absolutely fantastic. I mean, that is like, these are the people who are going to be determining who leads this wreck of a government. I mean, anyway.
Ironically, though, Stuart Lewis is probably the best candidate for the job.
He's fab. Well, whoever he is, I vote for him. He's great. So in our trawl, we've also pulled out some tweets this week, haven't we, about some of the contenders who have already fallen. I mean, it's old hat now, but because they're funny. So we're not going to have time to go through all of them, but I've gone with our faves. Well, when I say our faves. So, Marina, I want actively to take Steve Baker, matron. Not like that. Two things to say here. I am going to play a little clip, right, from a tweet that Brendan May put up. I just want our listeners to see if they can spot the majorly worrying clangor which portrays his version of what living in a democracy means. Listen to this.
Enough experience within government to know I can chair the meetings, I can lead the people, I have the ideas, I can mobilise secretaries of state to do what needs to be done. I'm absolutely confident if I seize power, I do a good job.
If I seize power. So Brendan May, who's at B May, he's a sustainable business advocate, he simply put that clip and wrote at the top, if I seize power, brackets, he won't. Brendan, you were right.
Oh, goodness. I mean, there he is. Steve Baker, our wannabe emperor. Like, it's just mental. I love it when the mask slips, though, and they show you exactly who they are. Thank you for that, Steve.
Yeah. And also, for those of you who aren't on Twitter, and don't blame you, we waste so many hours of our life. There's a chap called Russ Jones, who his handle is at Russ in Cheshire. I mean, everyone who's listening now who's on Twitter knows exactly who he is, I'm sure. He's got an enormous following, mainly acquired for his astonishing, well-written sort of weekly threads, The Week in Tory. Some of Russ's descriptors of the candidates are absolutely incredible. To give you an example, Russ tweeted previously on The Week in Tory, thermonuclear tribunal magnet Boris Johnson, that in itself is beautiful, battled to survive as Steve Baker told the BBC, I believe the Conservative Party is the only party capable of good government, as just behind him, over half of that government resigned. I mean, that's just so funny. He also tweeted, and I don't know if any of you saw Steve Baker's offering for his campaign when he put himself up. It was his opening and, as it turns out, closing gambit. Russ tweeted, his campaign was based around a riddle in the style of an optician's sight test, upon which was superimposed a photo of Baker with what looked like a meat cleaver through his head.
It really did as well. Like, why are they all so shit at anything creative? Like, the logos, there was a thread, sorry, I should have referenced it, but there was a thread on all the logos. They're so awful. They, like, remind me of back in my, like, year six, you know, Windows 95, bit of clip art days. And Suella's as well, the video quality, it was like she was just balancing an old iPhone on a wobbly chair.
Almost respected Sajid Javid that he just didn't bother and he put out an old one from years ago, which I actually thought was quite funny. And I hope that he was being tongue-in-cheek about it. Yeah,
he's efficient. The worst one, though, or one of the worst, was Penny Morden, I think. Her campaign video was astonishing for all the wrong reasons. And, like, it suddenly had people who featured in it tweeting to say that she hadn't asked permission and please could she therefore take them out. So you had Johnny Peacock, who's a Paralympian, who tweeted, I officially request to be removed from this video. Anything but blue, please. And she also made the error, or her team did. I don't know if they were trolling her or what. Apparently there were rumours of this happening. Oscar Pistorius was in it, for goodness sake. You had a police officer in there as well. You can't politicise the police, so that's a no-no. And they kept in murdered Labour MP Joe Cox, which is so distasteful. And that prompted a tweet from John Nicholson, who's the MP for Ochil and South Perthshire. He said, I see this mawkish video has been speedily recut to exclude killer Oscar Pistorius, athlete Johnny Peacock, who asked to be removed, and Sarah Gilbert, who presumably did the same. Murdered MP Joe Cox is still there, incompetent and insensitive. Very Boris Johnson, not a good start.
Yeah, it isn't really, is it? I mean, you'd hope that they'd all had a good scrutiny of that and thought, anyway.
When you're doing anything creative, it goes through so many rounds of approvals and scrutiny. I can't get how it went through. But then even the voiceover, what was that all about? It's like this sort of weird mix of like old school Hovis ad meets Attenborough's Blue Planet. It's just weird. Have a listen. It's coming up now.
We're starting the process of electing a new leader of the Conservative Party. The party will have a new leader. The nation will have a new Prime Minister. We must choose this person with solemnity and wisdom. We must choose not just for ourselves, but for all of us.
Oh, God.
We must think of blimey. Those Now, the thing is, Marina, I'm quite a bit older than you. I grew up on children's programmes like Trumpton and Mr. Ben, when life was that sort of pace and everybody on telly spoke like that. So it sort of made me feel about 5 years old. It was really weird. Quick other thing, you were saying about creative things going through rounds and rounds. Mm. I once did a Persil advert years ago. I used to do loads of commercials. And honestly, 15 people took maybe 6 hours to decide what blouse I should wear, you know. And they all looked at the same blouse and I just stood there. So I agree, more scrutiny.
Was it the right decision? Did you end up with a nice blouse?
It sold a lot of wash powder.
There you go.
So it was great, yeah. And it was nice work if you can get it at the time. Anyway, the video's done all right because she's strong favourite now. So what do we know, Marina?
I know.
Maybe we're completely
we might as well just shut
utterly
up.
Wrong. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, my turn to delve into the tombola of Tory talent, and I'm going to go with a clip from this tweet, which I saw from ITV News Politics. It's been ratioed hard. This is Braverman being terrifying.
I think we need to look at some of our government budgets. I think we spend too much on welfare. There are too many people in this country who are of working age, who are of good health, and who are choosing to rely on benefits, on taxpayers' money, on your money, my money, to get by. And I don't think there's enough rigour. Universal credit's been a brilliant thing in stamping out the culture of dependency, but there's further we can go. There's more we can do.
Oh, I mean, I really felt really actually upset when I saw that clip. I thought there is a climate crisis going on. The NHS is creaking. People can't get an ambulance. There's a cost of living crisis. Everybody is skint. You've got strikes mounting and you're talking about stamping out the culture of dependency, i.e. making life even worse for the most vulnerable and poor in society. I was chilled to the bone. And the good thing is you can tell that most people were, because on Twitter, you can quote things or you can quote tweet things. And the ratio was like 4,500 quote tweets of people mainly going, oh my God, help, as opposed to 1,500 sort of retweeting in support.
But also just shows she has no idea of the welfare system and how it works. In fact, Christian Wakeford, Labour MP for Bury, pointed this out. He tweeted, "Morning, Suella, 1999 called and they want their scapegoat back. We can talk about work being the best route out of poverty, but when the majority of people on benefits are in work, I'm afraid this is just a fallacy."
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, God, and also I think we're going to come on to it, but just the fact that you would go for that when there are savings to be made in other areas of society. Rhys Dinsdale, actor and director, he kind of summed up what I felt. She's all heart, blaming the most needy in society. Thank Christ I don't have this woman's sensibilities. I couldn't live with myself. Suella Braverman, a woman so void of intellect and compassion, she makes my blood run cold. There were many, many comments like that.
Rhys is on the money there. But she's not all heart though, is she? In fact, she's all bollocks. Does anyone remember her pre-Brexit appearance on Question Time? Because she was on there and she said with complete unwavering conviction, as they do, that any Brexit divorce bill we'd have to pay the EU was Project Fair. She said it like literally nodding, grinning. She even said we'd get a windfall. And do you know how that turned out, Gemma?
I'm going to say not well.
No, it didn't. I'd say it was even worse than that, in fact. This year alone, we paid the EU 9.4 billion towards the divorce bill with just a teeny tiny 26.6 billion left to pay, as reported by The Telegraph, no less. So that's one huge error. And sorry, rant incoming here, right? But back to the welfare thing. Why is it that Tories like Suella always blame our welfare bill for the pressures on the Treasury? It's the first thing they want to go after. But here's a nice little fact for you and the listeners, hopefully. In 2020-21, the OBR reported that the government spent 38.2 billion on universal credit payments. In fact, that was extraordinarily high because of COVID. So put that figure in your head, right? 38.2 billion on universal credit, helping people out that need it the most. But guess how much the government lost in non-payment of tax, so tax avoidance and fraud? They lost 35 billion. That's 3 billion yet less. And yet, why don't we ever see the government going after those selfish buggers? In fact, they do the opposite. They constantly vote against tax avoidance measures.
Absolutely they do. I mean, listen to this. The Tax Justice Network, according to them, they estimate, wait for this figure, $83 billion a year is lost in cross-border tax abuse by multinationals and individuals hiding assets in havens like the Cayman Islands. There is money out there. Wow. There is money for people. It's just all being funneled in the wrong direction. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. And she didn't just come out all guns blazing against poor and vulnerable people. She also, again, in the climate that we're in where everything, I think, takes precedence, she wants to take us out of the ECHR, thus destabilising the Good Friday Agreement. Alan Ferrier, who's very intelligent on Twitter, wrote, the ECHR was created to protect the UK from people like Suella Braverman. And our Russ, again, Russ in Cheshire, he wrote, Steve Baker lent his backing to Suella Braverman, a human-sized gerbil that has mindlessly gnawed through very nearly half of a borrowed copy of International Law for Dummies. Also backing Braverman is Desmond Swain, the reanimated corpse of Alvin Stardust.
That he's got such a talent, Russ. He just gets in a nutshell exactly what people are. My favourite was when he referenced Tory MP Peter Bone as a child's drawing of a vampire. What? Why is that so perfect? Like, it's so perfect. Great. Anyway, on to Nadeem Zahawi. Right, thankfully, we saw him booted out of the race, but he's got these massive question marks remaining over the state of his tax affairs, and this doesn't seem to be going away. So one of the leading tax lawyers in the country and founder of Tax Policy Associates, a guy called Dan Needle, tweeted, it was a crazy thread, about possible tax evasion from Zahawi regarding his shares in YouGov. Now, Jolyon Maughan, who is the director of Good Law Project, has also been across this. And he tweeted saying, this is a serious constitutional crisis. You can't have a chancellor who may have committed tax evasion and with the de facto ability to direct the organisation that is supposed to investigate him. Shocking. Because that's his new role, right? He's chancellor. And yet the HRMRC falls partly, I believe, under his jurisdiction. And they are supposed to be who's investigating. Like, it's absolutely
nuts. It doesn't work. It's like making Harold Shipman head of health. It's just not on. Robert Peston was quite funny in terms of a sort of slightly lighter incompetent campaign tweet. So Robert Peston tweeted, Nadeem Zahawi is using NZ4PM as his leadership election tag. If you click on it, if you click on NZ4PM.com, you're redirected to Penny Mordaunt's leadership homepage. Comedy gold. You got to love this contest.
Beautiful.
I mean, this is what Nadine's talking about. It's dark arts, Marina. It's dark arts.
I'm here for it, Gemma. James Felton, who is an author, and he's actually just quite hilarious on Twitter. I suggest you follow him as well. He tweeted about Zahawi saying, Wednesday, appointed as Chancellor. Thursday, tells boss to F off. Friday, declares Shinzo Abe dead many hours before he is. Saturday, launches leadership bid. Still Saturday, investigated by a department he began running 3 days ago.
I mean, what a week. What a week. It makes the mind boggle. And we haven't even got into Rishi Sunak yet. Or, as James Felton again called him in his tweet that captioned this clip, the people's candidate.
I have friends who are aristocrats, I have friends who are upper class, I have friends who are, you know, working class, but I'm not working class, but...
Crikey, Rishi, not the working class. Anyone but the working class.
You see, I always tried to be really, really fair. And I said to somebody, well, he was very young. You know, if people filmed me when I was young, I was such a dickhead. And then they were like, he wasn't that young. He was in his late 20s. I was like, oh, okay. You know, all right, yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's very, very unfortunate. Actually, I love Rishi whenever he gives us a little bit of like, I'm your man, I'm rolling up my shirt sleeves, I'm putting petrol in a Kia.
One of us.
This clip, I actually even prefer to the last one. This is one of my favourite clips. Harry Aslam put this up on Twitter. I love you, Harry. Thank you. It's a gift.
Yeah, I'm a coke addict. Total coke addict. Coca-Cola addict.
Yes,
to the record.
I was going to say.
To the record, just speak to Tony Clare. I am a Coca-Cola addict. I have 7 fillings to show for it. Exactly, I'm going to get in trouble.
Rishi, if you were at school and someone was going, I'm a coke addict. Yeah, not that coke. I'm a coke addict. No, Coca-Cola. You'd be like, right, dweeb.
He gets so nervous. And you know what's hilarious? Well, if you watch the video clip, the boys, and they're like, they're laughing with him at the beginning, but as it gets more awkward, they just go, I don't quite know what to do here.
Oh, I know. Oh, but is it sweet or is it, I don't know.
Yeah, no. Just remember him. No. Remember what he's about.
Yeah.
And we haven't even touched on trust.
Oh my goodness.
Liz Truss, who, again, a wonderful video clip, who got lost wandering off stage after doing a speech, which Twitter had a great laugh about. I was also fascinated, by the way, to see a tweet by Brian Moore at Brian Moore 666, who wrote, this is nuts. I know people who went to school with Truss and know the family well. They are staunch Lib Dems, and this, like Brexit and many other issues, is an example of Truss living up to the Groucho Marx line, I have principles, and if you don't like them, well, I have others. Have a listen to this video that he posted alongside that tweet of a young Liz Truss from a 1994 Lib Dem conference. And prepare to be, well, surprised.
I agree with Paddy Ashdown when he said, everybody in Britain should have the chance to be a somebody. But only one family can provide the head of state.
That's Liz. Ooh. That's our Liz Truss. Liberal
Liz.
Anti-monarchy.
And also, there are videos out there, you only have to Google, of her supporting the Remain campaign and talking about how she doesn't want her daughters to grow up in a world without freedom of movement. So she is she's like the version of sort of Madonna in politics. She's just the queen of reinvention. And in the leadership race, she was dressed as Margaret Thatcher, which is quite weird. In fact, after that leadership race appearance on Channel 4, Caitlin Moran tweeted saying, watching my Twitter timeline, it seems like every minute Liz Truss is on screen, she loses another 50,000 voters. It's a real sunlight is the best disinfectant appearance. So I hope she wins. That's funny. That's Liz. Do you think she's going to get it?
Part of me hopes she... This is obviously like head versus heart, but part of me hopes that she does win because I feel like she would be the greatest gift to the opposition at a general election. But if she were to stay in power longer than, say, 2 years, I think she'd be one of the most dangerous.
Yeah, true story. I agree. Mm. I think you've got the underrated tweet of the week, haven't you?
I do, because you've got to have a dredge, and I get to award the underrated tweet of the week. Lucky me. I am giving it to... Dun, da, da, da. John Niven. So John captioned a tweet by independent writer Tom Peck about the Truss launch, which showed her slogan, "Trusted to deliver." See what she did there. underneath which he wrote, "One of the more intriguing aspects of all this is how keen everyone is to boast about their track record of delivery, despite them having been in government for 12 years, and absolutely everyone thinks the country is on its knees." John Niven then quoted Tom's tweet and said, "If you strapped Truss to a chair and force-fed her bran flakes for a month, I wouldn't trust her to deliver a sodded log." Beautiful, John. John Niven, you win. You win this week's Tweet of the Week.
Oh, medal. That is very, very funny. Love it. Old Liz, what does she deliver, Marina?
Fair, she does deliver stuff. She just doesn't give a toss what she actually does deliver. So look, for instance, at the Australia-New Zealand trade deal that she signed, right? So this week, Politico revealed that despite her own government warnings of how the deal would harm and devalue and create huge unemployment for the British food and farming sector, she just went ahead and signed it anyway. Because it's optics for Lizzie, isn't it? It's anything, it's optics over anything. In fact, speaking of optics, what the hell was going on with her during the leadership debate on Channel 4 on Friday? Like, what was going on with the blinking? It was like she was furiously trying to communicate something in Morse code. Weird to watch. She's robotic.
Oh my goodness. And we haven't even got into the other candidates. We haven't touched on Tom. We haven't touched on Tom. We haven't touched on Kemi. But hey, I think we're probably done. We're so addicted to Twitter though that I think we'll be back next week, won't you, for another trawl from the Twitter sphere. And if you enjoyed this one, please share. Thank you so much if you listened to the last offering and told people about it. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a lovely turnout, actually. Very, very chuffed. So yes, we'll be back to discuss who's digitally sold themselves next week, hopefully, who's been excellent in no more than 280 characters, and to mull over the latest talking points from the world of politics. Till then, thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your weeks, and in case we've triggered your Twitter imagination, you can find us at the Trawl Podcast. Thank you so much.
Can we leave them with one last little treat, like a pudding? Okay. Because I'm a bit jealous that you did the dredge and did the underrated tweet of the week, so I want to dredge right back and just leave you with everybody's favourite Liz Truss moment. This wonderful speech. Pork markets!
Oh my God, I think the actual building is cringing. You're going to have to break up the last sentence, you know, like an angry parent, just to make them applaud.
That is a disgrace.
Right, I think you're going to have to end on some stronger points about agriculture. You can't just keep talking about apples.
Apples that dropped on Isaac Newton's head, to the orchards of nursery rhymes. This fruit has always been part of Britain.
You are the Minister for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs. Stop spaffing on about British apples like a racist greengrocer.
In December, I'll be in Beijing.
Oh shit, not Beijing.
Opening up new pork markets.
Sorry, Liz, you're done. You're dead. You're a meme. We're going to Plan B, everyone. Plan B.
I am determined that our producers will have access to more markets and abroad, generating jobs and security.